that time of the year. Tennessee baseball has returned, and with it, The Porch, a VolQuest baseball podcast. We are back. Opening day is tomorrow. Tennessee and Hofstra at the still ongoing in progress, but still looking really, really good. Lindsey Nelson Stadium. The reigning national champions are getting back to work. Hey, everybody, I'm Eric Kane, host of the Porch Podcast. I had to think about the name of the show because, well, I host about seven different podcasts. But what I do know is the show could not be possible without our proud sponsors. 30 in a row that Spivey King and Spivey LLP has chosen to be a part of the Porch, and I really, really do appreciate them. You got a problem, let them find a solution for you, TN Trial Lawyers. They specialize in criminal defense, family law, and personal injury. If you have an accident, if you have a wreck, if you are fighting for custody of your children, alimony, all that and more, they can help you. Don't let them, or don't be afraid to seek some help. They can certainly help you. And they got over 80 years of combined experience, Spivey King and Spivey LLP. They can help you. Again, that free consultation, 423-245-4185, 423-245-4185. We're online at Spivey King and Spivey LLP.com. So third year in a row, we got our sponsors back on board. So with that being said, let's get into it. I'm going to talk a little bit, preview a little bit, position by position, some of the main storylines heading into the season opener. Xander Seacrest, who's going to be a co-host of The Porch this year, is going to join me midway through the show. So you guys get to hear and see what Xander Seacrest is all up to. Then we're going to come back in the back half of the show and just a little bit on Hofstra. It is Tennessee's opponent, right? Just a little bit on Hofstra. Of course, I'll have a opponent preview out on the website of VolQuest.com on Friday as well. Do you want to make mention? We're going to have a rotation this year. The OG co-host of this show, Luke Lipsius, he's going to stop by from time to time, but he's pretty busy making a whole lot of money right now. So he'll be in a little bit this season, but primarily the two-man rotation, Xander Seacrest and Charlie Taylor. Chuck is going to join me on the porch next week for his podcasting debut. So before we get into Xander, here's a couple of the highlights for Tennessee heading into the weekend, heading into the new season. First, the big news that came out, we had it at VolQuest.com. You know, other people who cover the team, you know, had it as well. Alberto Ozuna has filed a complaint against the NCAA. Remember, he was the late transfer portal addition, got here 2 weeks ago. Essentially, he is a former junior college player that, thanks to the Diego Pavia ruling, where it was thought that you blanketed transfer former JUCO players with another year of eligibility, you know, he decided, like, oh, well, I was going to go to Division II Tampa, where I was in the fall, because I didn't have any Division I eligibility remaining. I'm going to try to go back up Division I, play one more season. And he entered the transfer portal. Tennessee recruited him. He arrived on campus 2 weeks ago and is still awaiting word from the NCAA that, you know, if they've looked at his waiver and if they've granted him eligibility. As of yesterday, 2 days before opening day, no word had been finalized. So, we had some documents sent to us at VolQuest.com that said, hey, Alberto Ozuna has filed a complaint towards the NCAA. And a couple of the highlights, again, if you didn't read the article, essentially what it is if you're following what Diego Pavia's suit is all about, it's as simple as this. Pavia is a fall sport in football. Ozuna plays a spring sport in baseball. What they're saying is, essentially, is Ozuna concluded his eligibility in the physical year of, what, 23 to 24, whereas Pavia is technically still a student athlete from 24 to 25 year. Football's in the fall, baseball's in the spring. It's as simple as that, and that is what they are fighting right now. The motion is for a temporary restraining order and preliminary injunction against the NCAA to, quote, restrain and enjoin the NCAA from enforcing NCAA bylaws, yada, 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 preventing Ozuna from playing Division I baseball in the spring of 2025 based on prior participation on a junior college team. The pleadings were filed Wednesday morning, February the 12th, in U.S. District Court of Eastern District of Tennessee. The documents state that the University of Tennessee submitted a waiver for his eligibility on February the 3rd, a request to the NCAA on behalf of Ozuna. The complaint argues that Ozuna's situation mirrors that of Diego Pavia, but the blanket waiver applied to the former, Pavia, and those like him, does not apply for Ozuna since baseball is a spring sport, football is a fall sport. The motion claims that an absence of such injunction relief, Ozuna will suffer, quote, substantial and immediate and irreparable harm because he will be unable to compete in Division I spring 2025 baseball season, thus resulting in a loss season and, quote, meaningful name, image, and likeness, compensation, and opportunities available to Division I athletes. Other such sufferings would include the loss of resources, facilities, training, publicity, and exposure that Division I athletes who are given a platform to showcase their talents at the highest level. It's also a failed eligibility would result in his MLB draft prospects as well. So I dug into those. I am not a lawyer. Looking through legal papers, that is not a strong suit, but I did comb through all those. At the end of the day, he's filing for a temporary restraining order, preliminary injunction against the NCAA, and that's a formal complaint to the NCAA. So we'll track all that. Long story short, I know I just read off a bunch of that to you. You know, unless something changes here in the next couple hours, at the time of this recording, I mean, he's not going to be eligible for Tennessee this weekend. Check back and see what happens next week. This is essentially saying, hey, NCAA, yo, what's going on? Speed this process up. Let's go, let's go, let's go. I mean, there's opening days a couple days away. Like, what are we doing here? If the waiver was submitted, you know, 2 weeks ago, why on earth are we not, you know, having open dialogue right here? So it's essentially to speed up this process and also to challenge, like, is it as simple as a fall sport and a spring sport? That doesn't make any sense, because Diego Pavia's path to Division I directly mirrors that of Alberto Ozuna. We're going to continue to track this. He is not eligible at the time of this recording. Tennessee has a ton of options over there at first base, but eventually we'll see what comes of this. But schools challenging the NCAA in court, it has been completely one-sided here of late. So I'm intrigued to kind of see what all this looks like. So that's a major storyline kind of entering the season. Also, some injuries, right? Andrew Fisher, he has got a tweaked shoulder. He's not been hitting a lot. He's been playing first base, defense only, not throwing. Cannon Peebles has been hitting all preseason, but hasn't been catching. Tony Vitello said, hey, they're both going to be available 100% this weekend. I'll be intrigued to see if they start all three games, if they play in their normal spots. Like, I fully expect Cannon Peebles to be the DH to open the season. I'll be intrigued to see if Andrew Fisher starts at first base as he continues to heal and get stronger and stronger before sliding him over to third base. But those are some things to pay attention to, because, again, it opens up the door. Say Fisher's at first base, who's at third? Could that be Manny Marin, a true freshman that has been awesome in preseason? Could that be Ariel Antigua, who has the best glove of the year? I think that opens some doors. Also, Stone Lawless will be, you know, Stone Lawless is raking right now. If Cannon Peebles is DH to begin the season, Stone Lawless and or Dalton Bargo will be catching, in my opinion. Levi Clark, where is he in this scenario? Could he get some looks at first base? I mean, there's so many different options, and that's why I think you're going to see so much tinkering of the lineup. You're going to see so much movement and different lineups and different options, and that's a good thing, because that is what the pre-conference slate is all about. Ideally, this is a little bit different as well, because you're not starting the season off in Phoenix or in Dallas. I mean, you're going to Houston in 2 weeks, and you'd like to kind of have an idea of kind of, you know, who gives you the best chance to win at what spot. But you got some time to figure it out, because at the end of the day, the only thing that matters is the Southeastern Conference play. And when Florida comes to town starting on May 14th or March 14th or whatever it is. So anyway, really, really looking forward to seeing all this kind of come together. But those are some two injuries that we need to pay attention to. Starting weekend rotation, Liam Dewell, the true freshman. He'll be your Friday night starter. Marcus Phillips getting the start on Saturday. Interesting. I'll talk to Xander Seacrest about this here in a moment. But a guy that's got all the potential in the world, command has been issues, like not being able to hone in on that command. The last two appearances in preseason, he's worked 4-plus innings, you know, no walks, looked really, really good. And so strike while the iron's hot, right? And I'm excited to see what Marcus Phillips looks like this weekend. And hopefully there's some sustainability there in the starting rotation. Who's going to start game three? I don't know yet. You know, we'll have to see. I think it could be Brandon Arvidsson, a JUCO arm. I think it could be Dylan Loy, who technically started that game in the pizza series. But I think we can all agree that Dylan Loy's future is a multi-guy, you know, out of the bullpen every weekend, kind of like a Kirby Cannell. Different looks, but usage, I think, could be very similar, you know, between those two guys. Kirby Cannell, who's on staff, right? Could it be Michael Sharman? Could it be Nate Snead? Nate Snead makes the most sense for opening weekend, because you know exactly who you are and what you're getting out of him. Can certainly start games. We know his ability to close games, be a stopper out of the bullpen. I'll be watching Nate Snead on Friday night to see if he's going down to the bullpen on Saturday to see if he's going down the bullpen. Because if not, then he's going to be your Sunday starter. So at the time of this recording, I don't know who's going to start on Sunday. Tony's left that up in the air. But it's going to be Marcus Phillips on Saturday and Liam Doyle on Friday night. I'm super intrigued to see a lot of these JUCO arms. Ryan Combs, who I think is going to be in a closer role back into the bullpen. Michael Sharman, who I've already mentioned, is a guy that I think could help start games for Tennessee. Maybe in midweeks, but he can be an inning eater. I'm excited to see. What Tanner Wiggins looks like, what Thomas Crabtree looks like. I feel like Brandon Arvidsson. I've already mentioned him. I think eventually he could be that third starter. There's so many unproven arms, but there's so much talent here, and that's what these next couple of weeks are going to look like. Luke Payne is a guy that's looked really good in preseason. Austin Hundley comes in with a lot of momentum. I think he could be an inning eater and be more than just a Tuesday guy, right? Some freshmen like Nick Abraham, Tate Strickland have both had moments. Tegan Coons, I believe, is going to be a guy that's in contention sooner or later for that third starter role. And he was kind of a leader in the clubhouse of Liam Doyle, since fall, but only pitched one inning. And it was late in Sunday's game three of the pizza series, so that's a bit confusing. The way they used Matthew Dallas and Derek Schaefer last year, they brought them in high leverage situations out of the bullpen that opening weekend in Dallas, and then they kind of both gave them a run at starting midweek. I think Schaefer started a Sunday or two. I could see them trying to do that with Tegan Coons a little bit. And plus, at the end of the day, you don't want to burn them out, right? I mean, Drew Beam ran out of gas in the month of May and June. Of his freshman season, even though he was just phenomenal, towards June, I should say. So anyway, I think Tegan Coons is going to be a guy that's going to be a stud for Tennessee. So I'm excited to see these arms. Again, a lot of unproven talent, but talent nonetheless, and we'll get our first look at that this weekend. I talked about first base a little bit. I think first base is, Alberto Azuna when he becomes eligible. He didn't play a lot of first base at North Carolina. He was primarily the DH for like three seasons. I think he very much has an opportunity to start there. Dalton Bargo is the leader in the clubhouse. He's a true utility. First base, catcher, third base, corner outfield. I think when all is healthy and everybody's in their normal spots, I think Dalton Bargo is your first baseman. But again, we'll have to see kind of how he starts the year. I think Levi Clark can play first base. Stone Lawless can play first base. Hunter High got a lot of looks at first base. I don't think anybody's separating themselves defensively over there at first base. So if nobody's separating themselves with the glove, then go with whoever's got the hot bat. And even if that's the case, maybe that's Manny Marin at third, then keep Andrew Fisher at first. I don't know. There's just a whole lot of possibilities, and I'm excited to see what that lineup looks like on Friday night. So first base, a lot of guys can play it. I think leader in the clubhouse is Dalton Bargo. Second, shortstop, Dean Curley and Gavin Keelan, transfer from Louisville. They're both going to play both positions. In fact, in the pizza series, they flip-flopped short and second between every single inning. Eventually, I think Dean Curley's your shortstop. I just think Gavin Keelan's better at second. And then at third base, when healthy, Andrew Fisher's your third baseman. He had a really good fall there. He got moved from third base to DH towards the end of last year at Ole Miss. There's some defensive questions there, but he looked good in fall. I think he's your third baseman when healthy. I could see a scenario where he plays a little first base early in the season. We'll find out on Friday. So, Ari Antigua, he's hit okay in preseason. The glove is elite. Manny Marin, though, so many guys on the board, posters want to say, oh, well, let's move these chess pieces. Fisher at first base, you got to open the door for Ari Antigua. He just has to be on the field. And I mean, I'm not doubting you. Like, his glove is good enough to start literally anywhere in the country. And he would be starting literally anywhere in the country. But I'm telling you right now, the way preseason ended, Manny Marin is probably the more of a total package right now. The glove is good. It's arguably better than that of Keelan and Dean Curley. The glove is not elite. It is not Ariel Antigua, but the glove is very good. And Manny Marin can hit a whole lot better than what we've seen so far from Ariel Antigua. So I could see a scenario potentially at some point this weekend, if Fisher is at first base or if Fisher's not in the lineup due to injury, because he's still kind of limited, he will play. I can see Manny Marin at third. So I'm intrigued to see what all that looks like. Reese Chapman's your right fielder. It is now or never time for him. He has got to perform. Hunter Ensley's your center fielder. And then, oh yeah, Jay Abernathy, who we hadn't even talked about an awful lot. Just phenomenal offseason. one of the fastest players Tony Vitello is ever going to coach. Sneaky power from the left side. The range in left is superb. I think he's going to be a center fielder one day. Outfield arm's been good, a couple of outfield assists. He will be your starting left fielder. I thought it was going to be a competition between Colby Backus and him. And, I mean, all indications are Jay Abernathy's your dude. So I'm excited to see what he looks like. Chris Newstrom's a freshman that has looked really, really good this year playing the outfield. Tennessee lacks for some true outfielders. You got Jackson Walker and Jordan Siegler as freshman outfield options. But I do think that a Levi Clark, that a Chris Newstrom, maybe a Manny Marin would get looks in the corner outfields first because those guys can swing the bat very, very well. So I'm intrigued to see what all that looks like. You know, if something were to happen to Jay or Reese Chapman or something. So nonetheless, it is here. Tennessee baseball comes in. A lot of storylines entering the season. A lot of questions to be answered. They will not all be answered this weekend, but it is going to be fun, and we'll have coverage for you every single game all weekend long right over here at VolQuest.com. Appreciate you guys for tuning in here to The Porch. Xander Seacrest is coming up here in a moment, but do want to tell you about our proud sponsors, presenting sponsor of the show, that is Spivey King and Spivey LLP. Matthew A. Spivey, J. Matt King, Richard A. Spivey, you got a problem? Let them find a solution for you. TN Trial Lawyers, they specialize in criminal defense, family law, personal injury, examples of which can be DUI, assault, divorce, custody, alimony, parental rights, personal injuries such as car wrecks, accidents. Over 80 years of combined experience, Spivey King and Spivey LLP provides representation throughout state and federal courts in Northeast Tennessee. The firm has a vast amount of trial experience. Practice has been in place for 43 years, with this partnership forming in 2012, while also having partners who are energized for today's modern legal demands. Practicing primarily in Northeast Tennessee, the Tri-Cities of Sullivan County, as well as Hawkins County, Washington County, and surrounding areas, the firm has multiple awards and attorneys who are rated by super lawyers with Mid-South real trial experience. Whether you've been injured in a car accident, need help with a divorce, help with custody of your children, or been accused of a crime, Spivey King and Spivey LLP is here to help you. You can go see him in person at 142 Cherokee Street, Kingsport, Tennessee. A free consultation by dialing 423-245-4185, or you can visit them online at SpiveyKingAndSpiveyLLP.com. Spivey King and Spivey LLP, you got a problem? Let them find a solution for you. TN Trial Lawyers. Now, the moment you guys have all been waiting for. What's up, Sam? I know you probably already fast-forward to this spot. Xander Seacrest making his debut here on The Porch, coming up right now. Xander Seacrest, man. First of all, appreciate you for joining me here on this show, you and Charlie Taylor this year. But what's going on? Where are you right now? What are you doing? Tell everybody kind of what's going on in your life since leaving Knoxville.
Kind of a up and down whirlwind. I mean, I'm in Fort Myers, Florida right now, getting ready for spring training down here with the Twins, and just threw a bullpen today. Got some command stuff working on with a new, you know, kick change grip. But other than that, it's been the same old, same old. I just recently played golf. The first couple holes were pretty rough. I haven't played in a couple months, but once we dialed in the driver, the wedges came into play. The putting's always there, so I never have any issues with the putting. But yeah, that's my life. It's I think it's like 70 degrees down here, so I know it's raining up there in Knoxville, I think, but yeah, it's 70, and you could say sunny in 75.
I'm glad the priorities are where they need to be, talking about golf down there. For those of you that don't know, Xander Seacrest, of course, signed with the Minnesota Twins organization last summer. He's down in the Grapefruit League action. Fort Myers, is that where you're at?
I'm in Fort Myers, yes.
Yeah. So he's in the team room there at the Twins organization, which is really, really cool. What's life been like? I mean, obviously, you know, last summer winning a national championship. And I'm going to ask you about, you know, Liam Dole and Marcus Phillips and so on and so forth, kind of get your thoughts on this season ahead coming up. But what's life been like for you where you had such a great season last year, you win the national title, you immediately come back, have a parade, you got to do all this type of stuff, you're on the stage with Morgan Wallen, but now kind of settling into this new, I mean, this career for you, a professional baseball player, what's it been like the last couple of months since the national championship?
For sure, different. It's like I'm still a kid in a grown man's world.
Yeah, you are. I can believe that.
Like, I mean, it's so weird going, like, I was a senior literally a few months ago. Now I'm like, you know, a rookie going into a whole different league, whole different style of baseball. But you know, like you mentioned, everything kind of happened quickly after that faithful day in June. The parade was the next day. We had to get on a flight early. A lot of the guys were, you know, a little tired after the previous night, but you know, everything just happened so quickly. It's where you had time to, you know, dwell on it and realize what had happened. But overall, it happened so quickly that you really don't understand what really happened at all.
So now that you're so far away from it and you see all your former teammates, you know, Tennessee Athletics, like posting pictures, getting ready. I mean, does it feel weird that you're, I mean, obviously you're still doing baseball right now, but you know, Tennessee baseball plays a game on Friday, and has it kind of sunk in that you're not a part of this program anymore, at least on an everyday basis?
I have no choice. I mean, I really want to be a part. I wish I was a part every year, but I just have no choice. You know, everything has to move along, and
you could have stayed like Kirby, right? I mean, Kirby's still on staff, so yeah.
Well, you know, he wanted to be a coach, and that's what he wants to do. So he'll be a head coach here in the next, you know, probably like 5-6 years, give or take, somewhere down the line. But going back, you said Morgan Wallen. Yeah, Morgan Wallen's a big deal. Some of the guys down here have like given me some slack and saying, "Oh, you and Morgan are like that." So I was like, "Yeah, us guys, when we were walking out, we all wrote 'Love Somebody,' and you know, that's where he wanted to perform it. So we were like, "Yeah, you know, yeah, go ahead." You know, that's obviously a joke, but he had it written before. But that's, yeah. And, I mean, they play, what, Friday? They play literally Friday coming up. I mean, it's Valentine's weekend, so that's when you know that college baseball is starting to get going. It's kind of easy to keep up with. And then by March, which is the 14th, is my birthday, and then the week after is always SEC play. So, you know, a month of non-conference and a lot of new faces on the team as well. And you'll get to see a lot of new faces, especially in non-conference. But when it comes to SEC time, you know how V runs it. It's same nine guys, and the rotation really doesn't change.
We're going to get to that. I do want to ask one more question about you, and we're going to talk every other week, you know, for the next couple of months. So I appreciate that, and could ask this down the line. But what's the talk been about? Like when they see you, when you're wearing that, you know, Tennessee Omaha shirt, you know, Tennessee stuff. Your new teammates, some big leaguers, some management. I mean, just the what's the talk about Tennessee down in the professional ranks where you are right now? Because, I mean, obviously, they know what's going on. They probably watched the World Series last year and know who Tony Vitello is and knows the, you know, the style and brand and excitement that is Tennessee baseball.
Yeah, I'm actually wearing our Omaha little sweatshirt from Evo Shield right now, but I still get slack from it. And anytime I wear Tennessee, like in a good way, oh, did you go to Omaha? Like stuff like that. And we actually were talking about NIL today, how that's impacted the whole sport. And yeah, Tennessee and college baseball is just growing. I would say it's. I don't see it declining anytime soon, especially with so much talent being moved around each and every year. I expect not only Tennessee but the SEC as a whole to keep growing in the talent phase. And yeah, they give me slack, but it is what it is. And not a lot of people realize that I was the pitcher that pitched game three until they go back and watch film. Cause yes, I do have short hair. I do, you know, I did have long hair, but boy, was it so hot.
Yeah.
But,
we all got to see that long hair because your hat never stayed on your head. So
yeah, that it's different now because now the hat stays on the head. It was the hair that did it. That's why I wore a headband underneath. But
I'm waiting for the bobblehead to be released of you like bending over to pick up your hat because it continued to fall off. I think that'd be a great marketing ploy for somebody in Tennessee. You know, Xander Seacrest bobblehead night, hat on the ground.
I don't know who I have to get with, but maybe I can text V and be like, "Yo, that'd be a great idea. Who do I got to get with to create it?" And you know, obviously, I'm different than most people, so I want to. Not only to be a bobblehead, but a little bit more creative in that aspect.
All right, man. So let's talk about this year's Tennessee team, and you're going to watch as much as you can, obviously. But you know, when I have you and Chuck and Luke in years past, like I want to ask you guys questions that I don't know the answers to. Like I play ball. I love baseball. I watch baseball. I'm big Braves fans, but like I didn't live it. I don't play it at this level. So there's a lot of things I don't know, and that's why I ask you guys. V announced that, hey, Liam Dole is going to be the Friday night guy. Duh. TBD on Sunday. I'll get your thoughts on that here in a moment. But on Saturday, it's going to be Marcus Phillips. And, you know, tell me what you thought when you heard those news. His last two appearances in preseason have been really good. His command has been sharp. He's been stretched out 4 to 5 innings. Walks have been low. Strikeouts have been up. He's a guy that's always had the potential, right? But, you know, at least last year, trying to, like, hone in that command and find consistency. But he's going to be starting games to begin the year. We'll see how long it lasts. But that's really, really cool.
Yeah, Liam was no doubt there. I think all of Vol Nation, I think everybody in the SEC knew that was going to be our Friday night guy. Marcus is an interesting character. I was about to text him. Probably after this, I'll give him a text and congratulate him. But I'm so proud for the man. Like you said, the command has been off and on, and different times last year, you kind of saw him grow up just a tad bit. The one that really strikes me was the SEC tournament where I started against Vanderbilt, the second game against Vanderbilt.
It was big.
It was an elimination game, and I went, I think, 5 1/3, maybe 6. Doesn't matter, but he went 3 strong, and that right there, if I know Coach Vitale enough, that right there proved that he could be, one, extended, two, be a late-game guy if they need to, or even 3, which didn't strike my mind at the beginning, but can be a starter. And I think that's what we're seeing. But obviously, like I said earlier, with the non-conference, you're going to be there's a lot of moving pieces and a lot of new guys. So you're gonna figure out where everybody's role is at. Obviously, you know, with the first week, you're not going to see a starter go 7-8 innings. It's just not going to happen. So, obviously, the Snead was a name that was mentioned, obviously, for Saturday. And I think what you're going to see is maybe him after Liam, because V likes to do the lefty-righty. He never likes to go righty-righty. So I don't see him going after Marcus, especially with two guys who throw that hard from – I mean, the same side. So
that's a good point. Like in the pizza series, sorry to cut you off, but in the pizza series, it was Phillips and then Snead followed. And I'm like, why? Like, again, V's forgotten more baseball than I'll ever know. But I'm like, why? That just doesn't make sense to me. So I'm intrigued to see. And Snead very well could be a Sunday guy this week. But long term, like you kind of mix and match those. Because even last year when AJ was healthy, it was AJ Russell, AJ Causey. But like those two guys threw it completely different. So it's kind of, you know, shaking that up. And you're right. Phillips and Snead are so similar in that regard.
Yeah, that's why I think maybe from if you were there in the pizza series, I know that's kind of the time where you figure out where pieces are going to fall, at least for the first month of the year. It may have been awkward to see that, but then again, it's a pizza series. They're just trying to, one, get guys built up enough, and two, just to see what they got. You know, they always told us that, let's see what you got. It's put up or shut up time. So I think Snead most likely go after Doyle because of the righty-lefty scenario, and V does like that a lot. It could be interesting to see if they decide to do Marcus and then Snead, Dylan Loy could be a bridge, mm-hmm. kind of like a Kirby. That's been – mentioned a lot that D'Loy's going to be like a Kirby. So Vol Nation, D'Loy's a great guy, I promise. And you're going to see him a lot down the road. But he could also start if they get to that point at all. But, it's just a bunch of mix and matching. And I would say that if people are very invested in Vol baseball, which there's a lot of people, non-conference is something that I wouldn't get too, one, stressed about. And two, don't look into it too much, but try to figure out, let's see if you can be the coach and see what you could do in different scenarios, just so you're ready and prepared to go for SEC play, which is all non-conference is getting you prepared for SEC play. And once SEC play, like I mentioned, that's when it really is tight-knit, and you're going to see a lot of repeating guys on the mound, and the lineup's going to be repetitive as well.
Yeah, if memory serves me correct, it was after game 3 of the College World Series finals last summer, and you guys are all celebrating, and our guy Jack over at the pencil guy, whatever we call him. He interviewed you, grabbed Eloy, and you're singing his praises. I think Dylan Loy, who actually started in the pizza series, he's a guy that can open and stuff, and maybe he'll open the game on Sunday. I don't know, you know, him or Brandon Arvidsson, but I'm like you, man. I love that comp, and sure, they're both lefties and all that, but I think that Loy this year can be a couple of times a weekend guy. You know, V actually said on Tuesday, he was like, there were some off days in there, but y'all threw Kirby in like 8 of the last 9 games of the season, or 8 of 8 or whatever. It's like, you know, you need somebody like that. I mean, that's the time of the year when you do that, but Loy can be a multi-weekend type guy out of the pen. So kind of on that note, I love that comparison. I know the stuff's a little bit different, obviously, but TBD on Sunday. That was your life. You lived that, right? I mean, you lived that. It was like, and we'll see about Sunday, and then we're all like, okay, well, we know it's going to be Xander. But you lived that life last couple of years and in last year. What are the challenges that go into that when at points in times you truly don't know if you are getting the ball? I know one time it might have been after Friday or Saturday game, you know, we saw you and we're like, hey, are you starting Sunday? And you're like, I don't know. Ask Tony. I have no clue. How's that life? How do you stay focused and knowing it can kind of change week to week, just depending on kind of your stuff that day and what's best for the team?
Yeah, the TBD life, I live that on both Sundays and Tuesdays. And sometimes I find out via Twitter. A lot of my Tuesday starts, I find out via Twitter when they send the preview out the day before. They obviously do a weekend preview on Thursdays. So, you know, just click the link. You know, it's right there. Just scroll down to probable starters. But TBD, it's something in-house. They know what they want to do. Like in-house, they know what they want to do. And like you guys, we're starting to figure it out. Even though it was TBD, it was going to be me opening. At that point, I was still opening. But it's not really much of a mind thing because I guess I lived it the previous years with TBD on Tuesdays. But I kind of knew. And maybe the starter for Sunday right now hasn't been told that he's starting Sunday. But if you see a guy that's not even in the bullpen and definitely that doesn't get in the game, you start to put the pieces together for Sunday. I heard Tegan Coons is probably my bet to probably start Sunday. I think he's a freshman, but I don't know if they're going to put a lefty in there just yet. They got a lot of flamethrowing righties this year. So I think you'll see a lot of lefties out the pen this year more than recent years. But I think they're going to go righty heavy on the rotation. But hey, Sunday could be an opener deal where two innings to everybody. So, you know, Sunday might be a bullpen game depending on how Friday and Saturday go and how they want to do it. Because I know they meet, you know, every morning and try to figure out a game plan with what they want to go with. So, you know, I think in house they know, but obviously the outside world does not.
Yeah. And especially when you get into conference play, like it's such a chess game. It's like, okay, well, you got to turn in your weekend starters by like Thursday at noon or whatever it is. And you're allowed to have one TBD, but half the league does two TBDs. And it's like, okay, what's going on? And I remember one time specifically leading into, it might've been like an Arkansas series. I don't remember, but Tony was like, yeah, we're going to start so-and-so, and we're going to start so-and-so on Sunday, but I'm not turning that into the league. I mean, I don't have to. They're not gonna make me. You know, it's like it's such a chess game. So that'll be kind of interesting. Speaking of some guys, you know, talking about the lefties, one guy that's impressed me in preseason, and you've been around him a lot more than I have, who I think can take on a role this year, Luke Payne. What have you seen from Luke Payne last year and kind of what's in his arsenal? And another guy that I thought looked really good and who I think can be an inning eater if needed is Austin Humley. He's been kind of the midweek guy in years past, but those are two guys that kind of under the radar stood out to me in preseason who I think can, you know, maybe throw for this team this year.
Yeah, a lot of people are get carried away with like the big names on the team, and sometimes you got to take a look at the underrated guys. I mean, I was one of them for a very, very long time, and I loved it. I loved that role. And Austin Humley and Luke Payne, they're team guys. They're going to do whatever you need of them. And obviously with Andrew Banky coming back, he's going to be a guy to look out for too. So definitely those three for sure from the underrated aspect of the, I guess there's a line and there's overrated, underrated. So you can put them in the underrated line. And trust me, I talk to him, and I understand what Hundley does, and I love his approach to the game. Banky, same way. Luke Payne is kind of like a D-Loy. They're hanging out together. So I guess you could say they're a new Xander Kirby, but I don't know if he can really take that title. We will see if there's
people
another.
Aren't talking yet. They might later. I don't know.
Who knows? That pairing is going to be tough to beat with Kirby and I. But yeah, Luke Payne, a lefty. He could throw it up there. He actually throws harder than me and Kirby, like average wise. So mm-hmm. that's got, you know, that's something for him there. But yeah. I think there's a lot of underrated guys on this staff that are getting overlooked because of the new names that are being put into Tennessee baseball that I think people need to just keep their eye on and obviously, you know, cheer for.
I went up to Kirby the other day. It was after one of those, you know, scrimmages or one of those games over the weekend, and, you know, construction's going on. By the way, what do you think of the stadium? You continue to see pictures and videos of the stadium?
Great stadium. They're doing it the right way. They're doing it the right way because I think the porches are last, which is going to be the big thing. But yeah, it looks pretty sweet. I know you guys are excited for a new press box because you guys have been kind of crammed in there for years.
Went up there the other day, and it's not done, obviously, but I mean, just so much room. There's no HVAC. We're going to freeze and burn up, but I mean, we just have all this room. We can do cartwheels in there. It's going to be nice. But I went up to Kirby the other day, and like, I mean, they're hammering, there's sparks flying everywhere, and they're doing a pizza series game. And I'm like, how's all this construction? I mean, is it not annoying? Or is it not kind of, you know, distracting? He's like, no, it's very therapeutic. And I'm like, you're full of crap. That is not therapeutic.
Well, I will say we lead the league in pressure washing. When they start pressure washing the stands, we lead the SEC in that category. So we had to deal with that pressure washing for years.
That's awesome. All right, man. I'll let you go here in a second. I do want to ask you, and again, you know, just like you, I'm going to learn all about these new guys. It feels like this offseason, though, man, there was a real – like Marcus Phillips was a JUCO guy that came up last year. I'm sure there was a couple other ones. But there were five JUCO arms that they brought in, you know, this offseason. And a couple of these guys are going to play big-time roles, one of which, Brandon Arvidsson. You know, we heard a lot about Tanner Wiggins, you know, Ryan Combs, younger brother of Aaron Combs, Thomas Crabtree, so on and so forth. Feels like there's a lot of talent that, I mean, they're going to have to kind of figure out their roles and everything. But have you heard anything about some of these JUCO arms? And if so, you know, what have you heard and who have you been impressed with?
Well, Combs will be Combs because he'll stay in the bullpen. So Combs is literally just like a reincarnation of Combs. And they act, their demeanor is kind of the same way. I haven't seen him throw the ball, but I heard like it's very – very similar. Like there's
you can tell
it's a Combs, you know, you can tell it's a Combs.
I'm just glad we get more Combsy drops for the next couple of years, you know, because exactly. From V is always saying we got Combsy. I mean, that's going to continue on now with Ryan.
That'll continue on. But yeah, that they'll both play the same exact role in my opinion. Tanner Franklin's another one. I know he's not a JUCO arm, but
had a great preseason. He's going to be a dude.
Yeah. Yeah, he came from Kennesaw State, and he played with Chatham in the Cape. So I talked to him when I was down there, and I was just telling him, like, how everything runs and how just buy in and just ride it out. I mean, I always say ride it out because then you kind of figure it out easier if you just ride it out and not try to force your way into stuff. But, yeah, you mentioned Brandon Arvidsson as well, and obviously there's a bunch of new arms and JUCO arms as well. But you'll see it only in SEC play is when like dudes become dudes and that's the role that they're given. But obviously you want them to have a good non-conference. And like I said, you don't want to look too much into it because I mean, there's so many changing pieces that could go, you know, that could go into it. So are they playing a tournament? I don't think
so. They're going to go to Houston, not this weekend, not next weekend, the third weekend of the year. They're going to play like Arizona, Rice, I think Oklahoma State. I forgot what it's called, but they are going to Houston and Minute Maid Park here in a couple of weeks.
Okay. Yeah. Well, okay. Yeah. So that's the third week. Usually it was earlier for us, but that's like a taste of what you're going to see. Like those tournaments kind of, like at that point, they put the best out there, what they got, And then obviously when SEC play rolls around, it'll be a little different. But yeah, I'm excited for it. I'll try to watch as many games, but it'll be a little weird not being there after being there for 4 years and having to be a fan instead of a player, and you know, having a little bit of control over the situation that's going down. But I mean, they got talent. They got they're going to win ball games. It's just interesting to see what kind of team it's going to be, because obviously college baseball and college sports in general, it's so year to year. You just don't know what you're going to get until you're about three fourths of the way through the year, and then you kind of finally figure what the team is. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see, and I'm excited for it.
Can't have that football mindset in baseball, baby. Baseball is a marathon. It is not a sprint.
Yeah.
This fan base is amazing, passionate. Sometimes we have that football mindset year round. It's a different sport now.
Yeah, that's where the fans need to realize that. Like, baseball is like three season, non-conference, conference, and then
postseason.
And then postseason.
Yeah. All right, man. Well, hey, appreciate you. Great opening episode here.
I'll get better. I promise.
No, it was great, man. It was great.
Just bring you back in town to hold some notes up and be like, "This is what I wrote down."
Need to get you back in town to do some of those SEC Network Plus games. So you know,
that's what I'm saying.
A little busy right now, but nonetheless, yeah, looking forward to talking with you every other week, and you and Charlie Taylor, and y'all are going to make this show really, really good. So. Xander, appreciate you, man. We'll be watching you. We'll be keeping up with the stats, and we'll talk to you again here in a couple of weeks, all right?
Sounds good. Thank you so much.
Awesome, awesome stuff there from Xander Seacrest. He's going to be one of the co-hosts here of The Porch this season, along with Charlie Taylor, who's going to join the show next week. But big, big things happening for Xander right now down in the Grapefruit League, and dude just living his life. And as you can see, Xander, he ain't changed much. Really, really looking forward to his contributions to the show, and being able to ask him and Charlie some questions that I don't know the answer to. Hey, before we call quits here on The Porch, I do think we should make mention of Hofstra, right? You know, what is Tennessee kind of walking into? Just a couple of notes that I've gathered. 24-33 last year. They were 14-4 in the CAA, which is I had it written down. I forgot what it was, but Coastal Atlantic Athletics. I don't know what it is, but CAA, they were tied for fifth. Preseason picked at number 9 in the CAA. They have 23 newcomers to the roster, 18 of which are freshmen. Tyler Cox, West Virginia transfer in the offseason, 14 games in 2024. He's expected to return. Jackson Bauer, a really, really good player there on the mound. 7 starts, 19 games, 4-3, 5.31 ERA. He had 2 games of 5-plus innings pitched in the month of March. Brendan Brown is another starter that you know will probably pitch at some point this weekend. I don't have the starters listed right now. 4-6, 4.38 ERA over 50 innings pitched. Trenton Snyder is a guy that I think can help in that lineup. You know, he had 15 bombs a season ago for, I believe, a junior college. Bryce Curry coming up from a community college where he had 9 home runs, nearly 400. 1 NCAA tournament appearance all time. That was back in 2022, where they were 30-23, 15-9. Again, this is a ball club that's rebuilding. It wasn't very good in 2024. Not expected to be very good here in 2025. But, you know, again, I wanted to make mention. I mean, this season or this weekend is about Tennessee. It's not about Hofstra. It is not about who they're going to throw. It's about who Tennessee's going to throw. And but I did want to make mention, you just say a little bit about Hofstra before we say goodbye. But we have reached the end of the podcast. Do appreciate you guys. On normal weeks, it will be much more of a preview of the upcoming opponent. But again, I'm not going to waste my time nor yours, because you guys probably would have fast-forwarded or at least turned it off if I did a deep dive 30 minutes into who Hofstra is. But in normal weeks, I will talk more about the opponent. But nonetheless, good opening show. Appreciate you guys for being here. Please come back next week. We're going to drop it every Thursday heading into the weekend series. Xander was on today. Charlie Taylor is going to be on next week, and so on and so forth. And couldn't do it without our friends, our proud presenting sponsor of the show. That is Spivey King and Spivey LLP. If you got a problem, let them find a solution for you. TN Trial Lawyers, a free consultation by picking up the phone. It's as easy as this, dialing 423-245-4185, 423-245-4185. A free consultation if you have the needs of the services of Spivey King and Spivey LLP. All right, Tennessee baseball season is back. if you're going to the ballpark tomorrow or some point this weekend, turn around, say hello to me in the new press box. It's open air, so don't stand. You'll get my line of sight. We don't want an Auburn situation like the basketball beat guys ran into down there on the plains. But nonetheless, come up and say hello, and I think we can all agree we're excited that Tennessee baseball is back. Until next week, this has been The Porch, a BallQuest baseball podcast.